Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring managing academic projects and deadlines. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
And it's such an important skill to really dig into, honestly.
It really is. Like, I was thinking about this, and it's so tempting to treat a massive group project as just, you know, a pure test of academic stamina.
Oh, totally. Just cramming and surviving.
Yeah. You cram, you canic, you submit at 11:59 p.m., and you just hope for the best. But if we reframe this entirely, managing these projects isn't just a survival guide for school. It is, I mean, it's literally the blueprint for the digitally enabled future you're about to step into.
Because, you know, academic projects are basically the ultimate sandbox for your future career.
The perfect training ground,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Think about what a complex university project actually requires from you. You're conducting deep research, you're navigating complex teamwork, and you're juggling multiple deadlines.
With people who have totally different schedules.
Right. And that environment is a direct mirror of the modern decentralized workplace. So it's this great low-stakes environment to develop the exact project management habits you're going to rely on for decades.
Which kind of brings up an analogy I love. Tackling a massive project without a plan is basically like trying to build a house without a blueprint.
Oh, man, yeah. That is a recipe for disaster.
It is. Like, everyone is just swinging hammers and hoping a roof magically appears.
And usually someone just gets hit with a hammer.
Exactly. So because building without that blueprint leads to a crash, we need to look at what happens when project management fails. We kind of have to diagnose the disease before we can fix it.
Yeah, and the cascading effects of poor management are pretty brutal. It almost always starts with a lack of clear boundaries.
Like, nobody knows what they're actually supposed to be doing.
Right. Nobody knows where their responsibility ends and the next person's begins. And that confusion breeds hesitation, which quickly devolves into, you know, really weak collaboration.
Oh, we have all lived through this. It's that classic Sunday night group chat panic. Like, wait, I thought you were doing the citations.
No, I'm just making the slides.
Yeah, exactly. And underneath that panic is resentment, honestly.
Because when someone hesitates, it looks like laziness to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And that ambiguity just completely destroys trust.
So it leads to late submissions and just like incomplete work across the board.
Yep. It's a domino effect of stress. But when you look at teams with strong habits, the contrast is wild. You get elevated organization, seamless teamwork, and clear accountability.
Which obviously leads to much higher academic quality.
Yeah.
But I have to push back a little bit here.
Sure, go for it.
Because I know what some of you listening are probably thinking. Doesn't mapping out every single little detail up front just create, like, way more work? I mean, couldn't you just start writing?
I hear that all the time, yeah.
Because honestly, sometimes overplanning feels like strapping everyone into a three-legged race. You're tied together, running in different directions, and it just feels restrictive.
That is a very valid feeling. The urge to just start doing is so strong, but we have to look at the core concept of project planning here.
Okay, wait on me.
The secret isn't that you're doing more work. You're actually organizing the work into manageable stages so you can distribute the cognitive load.
So you're spreading out the stress, basically.
Exactly. If you just start writing, the entire weight of that final 30-page paper is looming over you the whole time.
Oh, that background anxiety is the worst.
Right. But by breaking it into phases up front, you aren't backloading all the panic to the deadline. You're creating a sustainable pace.
Okay. Knowing we need manageable stages is one thing, but how do we actually execute and track that in the real world?
Well, there are a few specific strategies we need to look at. First, you break the project into phases.
Hmm.
Then you assign realistic timelines to those phases, track your milestones, and, you know, communicate regularly.
And doing all of that on a random piece of notebook paper is pretty much impossible now.
Oh, totally impossible. That's why leveraging digital tools is so important. Things like Trello, Asana, or ClickUp.
I use Trello all the time. It's great.
Yeah, these tools take the project from being just a static syllabus and turn it into an active shared brain for the team.
A shared brain. I love that. But wait, can you clarify something really quick?
Yeah, what's that?
What is the actual difference between a deadline and a milestone? Because people, they definitely use those interchangeably.
That is such a crucial distinction. So a deadline is the final cutoff. The paper is due November 15th at midnight. It's binary. done or not done.
Right, a terrifying end of the road.
Exactly. But a milestone is a significant checkpoint along the way, like finish the rough draft of the literature review.
So why is tracking milestones better than just having a giant countdown clock for the deadline?
Because staring at a final deadline doesn't give you any diagnostic feedback. It just tells you how much time is left before you fail.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Milestones act as a pulse check. If you miss a milestone, you get an early warning that the schedule is slipping while you still have weeks to course correct.
So it replaces anxiety with actual data. That's huge.
Yeah.
And to prove that this actually works, let's look at how this plays out in a real-world scenario.
Yeah, the student case study from the lesson is a perfect example.
Right. The team that dramatically improved their project quality just by implementing shared timelines and milestone tracking tools.
The transformation was structural for them because they made everything visible. Everyone knew exactly what to do. The friction just disappeared.
They stopped arguing about logistics and got back to the actual work.
Yeah.
But let's project this forward. How does this connect to the future workplace?
Well, that exact same coordination used by those students is literally how modern cross-functional remote teams operate today.
Let's paint that picture for the listener. Imagine you're hired at a global tech company, right?
Okay, yeah.
Your software developer is in Berlin, your designer is in Tokyo, and you're the project manager in New York.
And you're dealing with totally different time zones. You cannot just yell across the office.
Exactly. So learning to use shared timelines now is like learning the language of the modern workplace before you even show up for day one.
Because if the Tokyo designer gets sick, they flag it on the milestone board. The Berlin developer wakes up, sees the red flag asynchronously,
and pivots to something else. The system catches the failure early.
Exactly. But, you know, since these tools make everything so visible to everyone, we really have to talk about responsible use.
Oh, definitely. The digital spotlight can be pretty harsh.
It can. And this is where the core concept of collaboration comes in. Digital empathy.
Digital empathy. That's a great way to phrase it.
It's about ethical and responsible use. Specifically, why assigning realistic timelines is a fundamental form of respect for your teammates' well-being.
Right, because an unrealistic deadline is basically a failure of empathy. But how do we balance that? How do we balance accountability with trust?
It's a delicate balance for sure.
Because like if I'm checking Asana every 2 hours to see if someone checked a box, I'm just being a toxic micromanager.
Right. The key is remembering that structured management's ultimate goal is to reduce stress, not create it. Good coordination fosters what we call psychological safety.
Psychological safety. Let's unpack that a bit.
It's the shared belief that you can make mistakes or ask for help without being punished by your team. When expectations are clear in a tool, nobody has to guess. It strips away the anxiety.
So the tool is there for clarity and support, not surveillance.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do you, the listener, actually start building these low-stress, high-accountability habits today?
Well, the best way is to treat your very next assignment as a training ground. Create a formal project management plan.
Let's break that down step by step. What's first?
Step one is defining your project phases. Break it into major chunks.
Got it. Step two.
Set your milestones. What is the verifiable sign that a phase is done?
Step three would be establishing deadlines for those milestones,
right? Exactly. And step four is assigning responsibilities explicitly. Every task needs an owner.
Even if you're working alone, assign it to yourself.
Yes. And finally, step five is setting review checkpoints. Scheduled moments to step back and see if you're actually on track.
I love that. And I'd highly suggest listeners combine this activity with some of the frameworks from the lesson's further reading list.
Oh, definitely. Those are essential.
Yeah. Resources like Getting Things Done, The Effective Executive, and Atomic Habits. Merging those ideas will turn a one-time plan into a lifelong digital habit.
It stops being something you force yourself to do and just becomes how you operate.
Exactly. So wrapping up our deep dive today, I want to leave you with a final thought on why these skills transform your everyday life.
It really is transformative.
The reflection prompt from the lesson asks, you know, how stronger habits improve your academic performance. But I want to expand that.
Okay, where are we going with this?
Imagine how much mental bandwidth you could free up for actual creativity if you never had to panic about a deadline again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, bandwidth is the ultimate currency.
Right. What if the greatest artists and innovators weren't just chaotic geniuses? What if true, groundbreaking creativity actually requires a rigid organizational structure to thrive?
Because it protects the brain's creative space from the noise of logistics. That is a fascinating perspective.
It really is something to mull over. So we want to encourage you to stay curious, be responsible, and keep making yourself future ready.
Absolutely. And please make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities.
Yes, definitely do that. And again, we want to acknowledge those foundational reference materials, Getting Things Done, The Effective Executive, and Atomic Habits.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. It's been great.
We really appreciate your time. So next time you get a huge project, build that blueprint. We'll catch you next time.